And good evening, basketball fans. Happy holidays and welcome to the Upstate Hoops podcast on FingerLakes1.tv. I'm Jim Sinacropi here in studio with my co-host Matt Verkey. I do hope you'll stay with me for the next half hour because we have a great show on tap. We're going to recap a big week of action in the Wayne Finger Lakes Leagues. And in just a few moments, you'll hear from the voice of the Finger Lakes Radio Sports, Ted Baker. And we'll give you our players of the week. And then stay tuned as we release the latest edition of our FL1 Sports Wayne Finger Lakes Power Rankings. The Upstate Hoops podcast is brought to you by Generations Bank with locations in Auburn, Farmington, Geneva, Phelps, Seneca Falls, Union Springs, and Waterloo. Check out their mobile banking app and visit them online at mygenbank.com. And by Dr. Rod Littlejohn, over 30 years of smiles with style. And Red's Place, the best lunches around are in downtown Seneca Falls. Check out the menu at menshalloffame.com. And Verk, welcome to the show. How you doing tonight?
Doing all right, Jim. Good to be here.
And you were actually at the Minders Penyan game on Friday night. That was a game that we were looking forward to seeing how the outcome, and it resulted in, let me get the score here.
Penyan 65, 51. Minders 51. And it was a tight game through the half, and even early in the third quarter, then Penyan, Minders didn't score for a long stretch, and, you know, Penyan pulled away pretty easily.
So, and then last night I was in Clyde and saw Red Creek beat Clyde in convincing fashion. Michael Turner was out with the flu. That was disappointing because really looking forward to get a look at him. But we did get a look at Jake Sloab. He had 28 points, 22 of them in the first half, and pretty much dominated without Turner in there. So we'll talk about those two games a little bit later. But right now I'd like to bring into the show the voice of Finger Lakes Radio Sports, Ted Baker. Welcome back to the show, Ted.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Good to talk with you both about hoops.
As part of our new segment to start off every episode, Radio Round Ball Roundup. It's tough to say, but once I get it down, it'll be fun. It'll roll right off the tongue. So, Ted, you were in a light schedule this week with the holidays of games in general. Called one game this week, and it was Minders Girls at Geneva. Can you tell us a little bit about that game?
It was actually, I made a mistake earlier. It was the Waterloo-Geneva game on Monday. I guess I missed the best game of the week on Friday. I got called away to do a hockey game on another station, and that Romulus-South Seneca game was closer than I was expecting. Geneva-Waterloo on Monday night, and the Indians, of course, are kind of in transition, having to replace two terrific players. They hung close. It was a one-point game in the final seconds of the first, and then Geneva went on an 18-0 run, and that was pretty much it. It was 73-36 final. Geneva is so tough to play because they show so many defenses. I mean, Ed Collins Jr. is a great coach. They will throw two or three different presses and two or three different half-court looks at you. Waterloo struggled with it a little bit. And they need to find a scoring option beyond Chelsea Steinruck. She had a pretty decent game with 12 points, but they need scorers number two and three to step up, I think, to improve their record.
What did you think of the freshman for Waterloo there, Castiglione?
Yeah, she's real good. I think this team will be all right. It's just when you lose players, the quality of Deming and Johnson from last year, it's going to take a while to rebuild. She's a terrific-looking freshman. She had 8 points, including a couple of threes in that game, and ran the point for much of the game, and really, considering the different kinds of defensive pressure you face against Geneva, handled the point pretty well.
And you consider the Geneva girls as the team to beat in the East there, or do you think Palmac and Vanderwall's the team to beat?
That's tough because I think maybe Palmac might have the best athlete or two, but I think in overall depth, I might give Geneva the edge. And just the things that they can do on defense, there are very few girls teams capable of doing that many things on defense. Like I said, I mean, they'll show one kind of press and then switch up to another. They'll play man. They'll play 2-3 zone in the half court. They look like they played a little bit of 1-3-1 the other day. So I think that's pretty much a toss-up between those two teams. That's going to be a game I wouldn't mind doing when they play.
Well, speaking of Geneva, Ted, how about the boys? They're 0-5 now after getting trounced by Palmac, I think it was this week. What's the talk like in Geneva about the boys' program? I don't know if you had a chance to talk to Brian Miller.
Well, a little little bit. The first, it was funny because the first game of the season that I did of theirs, I always go up and get the lineups and check the scorebooks, make sure I got everybody down. And he just walks up to me, says, "This is not your usual Geneva." So I think he knows he's got a rebuilding job to do. I'm a little bit surprised how much they've struggled, but it's just you never know when you lose a lot of players. I mean, I think they lost their top seven players to graduation, so you don't know how that next group is going to gel and how players rise to the challenge of playing a bigger role. You know, you start your career as a freshman or sophomore, and you're maybe the number three or four scoring option. A couple of guys graduate, and then the team leans on you, and some players are able to make that leap, and then others struggle to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, Geneva's scheduled tough, too. They've played a few teams from Rochester, and, of course, the East, they've played a lot of tough teams so far in the East, so it hasn't been necessarily easy for the Panthers, who stand at, I think, 0-5 so far, Vert.
Yeah, you know, and not all that surprising. Look at their schedule and looking at what they lost, you know, and like Ted said, you know, Coach Miller knew coming into the season that it was going to be a struggle. You know, they're having trouble putting points on the board. You know, he's got some athletes. He's got some talent there to work with, and they're a team I think is going to get better and better. You know, they had Minders on the ropes there without their starting point guard, so I think, you know, they get everybody back and get them all together, they're going to win some games this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's going to be the test, is to see how they look in the second half. I think they'll start to come together, and, you know, they might be one of those teams that that scares people come playoff time. They might not be a favorite to win Section 5, but they might shock a couple of people along the way.
Well, yeah, that's one of the problems with a lot of teams, like, you know, Minder struggling a little bit so far. We can say, well, they got to get better because they have a shot to go deep in sectionals. But with Geneva in Class A1, is it? You know, they needed special teams the last 2 years to even have a shot. And you remember when they won last year, they won the semifinal game in overtime. And, you know, they didn't just waltz to it. And then a great team. The team the year before may have been better because they had Sims and Johnson as juniors, but they had Shane Sweeney at the point, Jordan Donahue at shooting guard.
Yeah, that's a tough class, obviously. Once you get up, you know, the B1 and B2, you know, you might catch a weak class here and there where you can kind of get through with not such a great team. But once you get up in the A and above, you know, you got to have a pretty loaded team coming from the Finger Lakes to compete with some of those city teams.
So, Ted, where are you going to be this week?
We got just one game this week. Again, we're kind of in the holiday mode here, but then we'll get back to full bore after Christmas time. We've got another Seneca County showdown. Tuesday night, South Seneca boys hosting Waterloo.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting crossover. Right now, South Seneca's 2-3 on the season, 2-2 in the league. Pretty good start for a program that Coach Lent would even admits on the rebound. And Waterloo, a team that's been disappointing so far to us. We thought they might compete for the Finger Lakes East, but they're 0-3 in the league so far, 1-4 overall. And I guess if you're going to handicap this game, Ted, you think South Seneca, you know, has a shot?
Yeah, I think they do. Waterloo, just for the last several years, has just really struggled offensively. The offensive execution isn't there. The shot selection is poor at times. And, yeah, I'm a little surprised, too. That's, you know, if you're looking at your surprise teams on the downside so far this year, I think Waterloo's won. I'm surprised, not that Geneva's struggling, but I'm surprised to see them 0-5.
Yeah, and of course Waterloo is going down to the Guinan, and they're going to play on the road. And, you know, haven't seen – I imagine they'll match up Lincoln Bachman low with Ben Deming. And surprising that – I'd be surprised if Waterloo didn't win that game, Burke.
Yeah, I would too. I would say, you know, Waterloo's a, you know, not a heavy favorite, but, you know, it's a game Waterloo should win and really needs to win if they want to get the season – headed in the right direction. You know, we watched them play Minders, a game which, you know, we thought it was over at halftime. They really battled back, showed a lot of character there. You know, had a good shot to win it. You know, they just need to get some confidence, I think. It's a team that, you know, a lot of these kids have been playing since they were freshmen and sophomore, now they're junior and seniors, and they haven't had any success. And I think they need to get some wins under their belt and, you know, kind of learn how to win finally. You know, they got the talent to do it, you know, and Jeff does a good job with them. They just can't seem to put it together, you know, in one night. So, you know, with Ben Deming, he's a great piece to start with. And, you know, they got a lot of good pieces around him. So hopefully they can get their season going. And, you know, South Seneca is going to come in and battle. You know, they're tough, scrappy kids. They got a couple, you know, they just they pounded Romulus this week in their big rivalry game, which you know, was kind of expected, I think. And they got to win over Honeyway, who's not very good either. But you know, this would be a big win, obviously, if Southside could beat Waterloo.
Well,
yeah, and of course, you know, I think everybody said would believe that the East is tougher than the West in the Finger Lakes. So it's you know, like you're talking about Geneva having to move up at playoff time into Class A. I mean, it's very difficult to make that jump. But it's the same thing. Most of the Finger Lakes West teams are lower, you know, a lot of C schools, whereas you got A's and B's in the East.
Sure. You know, and I think you see that on the girls' side a lot, Ted, with, like, some of these minors teams over the last couple of years on the girls' side who, you know, they're winning three or four games in a league, but they won a sectional title 2 years ago. Last year they went to the finals in Class C with only, you know, two or three league wins. But the East, the girls' league is, you know, from top to bottom, is usually pretty competitive.
Yeah, and you brought that up. I was going to mention that. Look at where Minders is this year. The girls have 5 wins already. They're 5-1. Last 2 years, 3-4 wins, and then very deep runs when they drop down into a C for those playoffs. So the sky could be the limit for this Minders girls team this year.
Yeah, you know, we covered their game against Waterloo, and you know, Waterloo was down a couple players that game, and you know, they played a 1-3 shadow kind of on Steinruck. But Minders is talented this year. You know, Coach Anderson, I played with in high school, he does a great job with them. And, you know, I think, you know, they're going to be in the top 2 or 3 teams in the league. I think that, you know, they had a tough loss at Paul Mack. They lost by 3 or 4 points, a game that was, you know, tied late in that
anyway, game. There shows me that they're ready to go. You know?
Yeah, you know, really nice pieces.
The thing is with Minders, we've talked about this before, is, you know, they come to the playoffs, their first couple of round playoff games are easier than almost all their regular season games.
Oh, sure.
I mean, they play Paul Mack, they play Geneva in the Finger Lakes East. I mean, that's like going through playoffs before the playoffs.
Sure. Wayne, you know, Wayne's good again this year. It's a tough girls league. So, yeah, like, you know, so when Minders gets the sectionals, they're playing some schools their own size. They usually fare pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, Ted, thanks again for joining us. And what time again is that broadcast, the Waterloo broadcast?
That'll be a 7:30 game on Tuesday night at Gyna Gym.
And then that, of course, December 23rd, and a little Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Wednesday, Thursday. Ted, Merry Christmas to you and your family, and, you know, enjoy the slow week.
Same to you, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on.
All right, Ted, we'll be talking to you next Sunday night. Have a good one.
Thanks.
See you then.
And there you have Ted Baker, Finger Lakes Radio Group. What do you think, Virk? Ted brings a little bit of extra to the show. He's out in gyms to games that we can't get to. And,
sure,
you know, usually he's calling 3 games a week, but with the holidays, not so much. But he's going to bring a lot to the show.
It's a great addition. He knows a lot about basketball. He sees the players. He knows the coaches. And he can, like you said, he can be in places that we can't be. And, you know, definitely help us in what we do.
Well, a lot to get to tonight. we got our power rankings, which are kind of taking on a power, little life of their own. Everybody excited about the power rankings every Sunday when we release them. And we got our players of the week. But, you know, the standings in the leagues are kind of starting to take shape. And I think we should maybe run through quickly just the league, see how they're shaping up. In the East, we got Newark at 3-0 in the league, Palmetic at 3-0 in the league, Penyan at 3-0 in the league. Then you got Minders at 2-1, and then nobody else has a win. You know, so Geneva, Mid Lakes, Waterloo, Wayne, all 0 for everything. Terms of in league,
yeah, I think the league's down this year compared to what we've seen over the last few years. You know, especially when Geneva's down so much, that obviously brings the league down a little bit. You know, Wayne's dropped off a little bit, obviously being 0-3, 0-4. They're a team who we've seen over the last, you know, few years, had some really good players and always brought a lot to the game. You know, and Minders is middle of the pack, but, you know, it's going to be an interesting race up top between, looks like, Newark, Paul Mack, and Penyan.
Yeah, Newark lost on Saturday night to Fayetteville Manlius. I think it was, get the score here, 58-39. Now, Fayetteville Manly is a difficult team out of Section 3, a good program. Does that make you think any little less of Newark?
You know, I don't know much about Fayetteville Manly, obviously. Yeah. I guess, you know, down the road we'll check their schedule and see how they're doing, and, you know, then maybe draw some conclusions about Newark and where they really stand.
But the other thing with that is, you know, kudos to Coach Avrilla for scheduling an away game against Fayetteville Manly, because in the big scheme of things, that's not going to – affect their overall season too much. It's not a league game. You know, this, there's a lot of upside there for sectional points, I suppose, but you're not really putting too much at risk, especially when they're winning all their other games. And they're going to be prepared for sectionals.
Sure. You know, in those, the bigger schools, the Geneva, Newark's, those kind of schools in – they need to schedule some games outside the league that are competitive against city schools, because that's what they're going to see come sectional time. You know, Newark's in Class A2 with Geneva, so you know they're going to see Monroe, College Prep, Greece Olympia. You know, they're going to see some city schools, and you know, playing these games will help them get ready for that.
So, you know, when I look at those East standings, that Penn Yan game just really was a big game on Friday night. It was that we were wondering if Minders was going to be able to compete in the East, and we've been hearing so much about how this group in Penn Yan is so solid. And, you know, it was a convincing second half a win for Penn Yan. Ben Covert had 13, Austin Fengar had 19, Tanner Irwin had 15. For Minders, Devin Verkey had 15. Ben Cafola pulled down 11 big rebounds, and Liam Carraher had 14. And you know, what was the difference in that game?
Well, from about middle of the third quarter through late in the fourth quarter, Minders couldn't score. We didn't get any buckets
in Seneca Falls.
In Minders, we didn't. You know, I thought maybe we had a little bit of advantage with Carfolo inside or some of our bigger guys inside. They didn't get a lot of touches inside, and due for different reasons. And, you know, what I came away with from that was, you know, Penn Yan, they're not big, but they got, you know, they got five or six guys who are all good. They hustle. They play together. They're very composed. You know, they're I think they're a team who expects to win this year. You know, they just look like they got that edge to them. And, you know, they did a nice job of taking it to Minders. And then on the other hand, Minders, you know, we got a little bit rattled, I thought. You know, they need to come together as a team and play like a team if they're going to be successful. You can't they're not talented enough or good enough to win, you know, if they're not together as a team. And they need to come together still a little bit. You know, and the book's really still out on Minders to me. You know, they've beaten South Seneca, Waterloo, Geneva. But, you know, I think the schools they beat have one win maybe. You know?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. And Honey Oy,
right.
And they're going back to Honey. So we don't really learn anything about them. And the Waterloo game was close, and we really think Waterloo has a lot of talent and it should be a good team, but the results elsewhere have shown that wasn't as good a win for Minders as it originally looked like.
Yeah, you know, Waterloo and Geneva are good wins for Minders, but they're games they could have lost very easily, and they're also teams who aren't winning any games.
Geneva
outside,
lost, you know, got doubled up by Palmac and Geneva.
Yeah.
So. Or Palmac and Newark, excuse me. So those are the cream of the crop in the East, and so, you know, if you just go by the results, it has Minders right where they are right now in the middle of the pack. And I think Penn Yan's kind of becomes the dark horse, you know, in the East. But, of course, the season's young, not even
sure.
Christmas yet. So a lot can happen, and they're all going to play each other again.
Yep.
So let's move on to the Finger Lakes West, where I think we don't give enough credit to Mick Salter's Naples program, you know. They're 4-0. They have good players. Isaiah Tilley's the one name that we've been saying for the past couple of years. And, you know, they're 4-0. They come up with a big win over Dundee earlier this week.
Yeah, that was a big, big win. You know, we kind of had Dundee pegged as the favorite in that league. And, you know, obviously not really knowing much about Naples. They had that good team. Was it last year they had it? They were pretty good.
Naples two years ago won the league.
And, you know, and Tilley was the guy who, you know, we covered one of his games and remember him playing. But, yeah, you know, big win over Dundee, and that puts them as the front runner right now in the West.
And Dundee 3-1 on second place, tied with HAC, also at 3-1, HAC losing to Dundee pretty convincingly, 56-37. That's more of an indication of, I think, the way that we think, you know, Dundee's gonna play this year. So then you got Marcus Whitman, who beat up on Romulus this week. But they also got beat by Naples pretty bad on Monday, 68-49. And I mentioned Isaiah Tilley; he had 13 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. So maybe that's one of the reasons why Naples is so hard to beat. They got a guy like Isaiah Tilley.
Yeah, and that's a Whitman team that's not bad. You know, they're in the Waterloo tournament and you know, did pretty well there. And you know, they're a bigger school playing against a lot of smaller schools. But, you know, I see Marcus Whitman, HAC, Dundee, Naples. You know, it looks like they're going to be the cream of the crop over there.
Yeah, and then you got Red Jack at 2-1, South Seneca 2-2, which great start for Dan Lent. The wins over Romulus and Honeyoy. And then you got Romulus and Honeyoy at 0-5 apiece. And then we move over to the Wayne County, where I just think things are absolutely crazy. This is like the most, no doubt to me, the most interesting league this year. Right now, you have North Rose Wolcott at 3-0, Red Creek at 3-0 atop the standings. Actually, those aren't updated after last night's Red Creek 4-0. Clyde Savannah is 2-2 now in league after losing last night to Red Creek. Lions 2-1. They're only lost to Sodus in a game without Hunter, but nonetheless, that's a loss in the loss column.
Sure.
And that puts them a game back. And while in the other leagues, we kind of stopped talking now about contenders, but I'm going to keep going. East Rochester at 2-2. They beat Clyde. Gananda at 1-1. Played Lions tough. Sodus at 1-3, but yet everybody, you know, Ron Derek Morris and company, they think that they could improve, and so they couldn't, even if they don't even figure into the league title, they'll probably play spoiler at some point. I guess they already have with Lions a little bit. But that's seven teams, Virk, that are in contention.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting league, and it's a Sodus team who I think had some kids out for that were ineligible that are supposed to be coming back, I believe. Yeah, but, you know, 1-7 there, you know, any given night, I could see anybody beating each other through that, you know, the top, you know, 6-7 teams in that league.
Well, we're going to get a look at Red Creek on December 29th. They're playing a boys-girls doubleheader on Finger Lakes One Sports. North Rose Wolcott, yeah, sorry. And the 29th against Waterloo in Waterloo. And then we will get Red Creek again when they travel the Lions. It's an interesting story about that. Lions was supposed to travel to Red Creek on Monday, tomorrow. Red Creek had shot clock issues, and so they had to postpone it. And what they wanted to do was flop the dates, so mm-hmm. they would come to Lions. But we got that game on FL1 Sports.
Oh.
So they decided that, and it's a holiday week, and so they're a little short-staffed to make changes like that with people out.
Right.
But, yeah, they decided that wasn't an option.
So they're not playing tomorrow at all?
No, but they did reschedule it to, where is it? January, I got it on the last page. They rescheduled it to January 12th, which is also a Monday. And that'll be a huge game.
Yeah.
And then we got the game at the Atwood. So, but I'll tell you, Virk, looking at Red Creek last night, I was totally impressed because, you know, first you heard Michael Turner wasn't going to play because he was sick. And so right then, you know, Red Creek's probably going to win this game, you're thinking. But, you know, I never really seen Red Creek before, so I thought that, you know, if Clyde played well and the freshman Derek Chance kind of broke out a little bit, that maybe they could stay in the game. But Red Creek's a lot better team than I thought they were going in.
Yeah, I haven't checked out the game yet. I'm going to have to do that. And obviously Clyde not having Turner is huge because, you know, he's probably somebody who's going to guard Sloab and, you know, and have a chance to slow him down a little bit with Turner's quickness. And, yeah. And he's got the size, you know, because, you know, Sloab can do a lot of everything inside, outside. And, you know, from talking to you, it sounded like he kind of, without Turner in there, did a lot of damage inside.
It was everything
night.
Was inside, and why not? He got fouled or made the shot. You know, after a rough shooting start, he ended up having 22 points in the first half.
Yeah.
And by then, they'd opened up a 20-point lead, and he didn't play much in the second half. But let's talk about some of the complimentary players, because we always talk about Jake Sloab. They have a sophomore point guard named Nick Klein, had 17 points, and he did a lot of the second half scoring. He's quick, he's really good with the ball, and he can make shots from just about anywhere on the court. Nice jump shot. His older brother's a senior shooting guard, Griffin Klein,
okay.
on the same team. And then they got a big guy, Willie Meyer, you know, not biggest guy on their team. And he did a lot of the dirty work and can score inside. And so he's got – Jake Sloab's got a complimentary staff. And one thing, talking to Coach Jamie Grinshaw preparing for that broadcast, he said that 3 days a week Jake Sloab's coming in to school at 6 a.m. And he's going in the gym. He's getting shots up before school. And he's put on 10 pounds in the off season conditioning. And he said that, you know, he's the hardest working kid in the Wayne Finger Lakes. After watching him play, I think he's the best player in the Wayne Finger Lakes.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that's comparing him to Damon Hunter and Tyler Collins. And I love both those kids. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I got to tell you, I think Sloab is a horse.
Yeah, you know, he brings a little bit of everything to the game, and he's a little different than those guys in that he's got size. You know what I mean? And that's, you know, obviously those guys, those other two players that we mentioned are more point guards and, you know, have right. the ball in their hand a lot. Where Sloan's more of a scorer, but he also helps out on the boards a lot, obviously. You know, and I haven't really got a chance to watch that game yet, but look forward to it. And, you know, Red Creek's right there. And, you know, this is kind of historic for them. I don't know the last time they've won a Wayne yeah. County League Championship or if they ever have, to yeah. be honest with you. But, you know, they're off to a great start, and we'll catch them here in a couple more weeks.
Yeah, Sloan, I think, now just 14 points shy of 1,000.
Nice.
So he could, I imagine he would have got that tomorrow night at Lions, but next time he hits the court, something tells me he's going to eclipse that mark.
Yeah.
Amazing thing, too, about that is that Slope's freshman year, they didn't have a varsity program.
Yeah.
So his sophomore year, he's been on varsity since he was a sophomore. And apparently they debated, you know, we could bring the program back, but we're going to have to start these freshmen. They decided against it. They thought it was probably a good move overall, give those kids a chance to mature a little bit and then come back. And so everything's been building towards this year
right.
for them. So one of the stories of the year, I think, so far, they're 4-0, and the wins have been convincing. You know, they blew out ER. They blew out Marion and I think Sotus as well. And then now going to Clyde. I asked Jake after the game, he ever won in that gym. He said no, this was the first time. So.
Yeah, Clyde's obviously been real good, you know, and yeah. – They've been down a little bit, but nice win for them.
Well, look, we're going to step aside for a quick word from our sponsors. We come back in 60 seconds, our players of the week, and our updated power rankings.
Find the partner you've been looking for. Welcome to Generations Bank.
Athletes this high school sports season.
And welcome back to the Upstate Hoops Podcast on Finger Lakes One TV and YouTube. You can subscribe on YouTube, search fingerlakes1.com, subscribe to our channel. We're on iTunes and Stitcher.com. And, of course, just browse to the front page of fingerlakes1.com every Sunday night for the live link, or look for the posted show on Monday morning. Well, Virk Players of the Week, I personally delivered Jake Slope's T-shirt from winning last week. This week, the winners, if they'd like to claim their Finger Lakes One T-shirt, just email us at upstatehoops@fingerlakes1.com with your T-shirt size and address. We'll mail it out. Vert, who do you have for your player of the week?
I got Ronderick Morris. Big win over Lions, obviously. You know, they're yeah. kind of a disappointing overall season for Soda so far. We were expecting a little bit more out of them. But, you know, 23 points, a big win over Lions. And he came back with 17 and a loss to Clyde. But, you know, he's obviously, you know, one of the better players in that league. And he was one of the better players in the Finger Lakes last year. And now he's over in Wayne County. So, Ronderick Morris is the player of the week.
Yeah, I guess edging out maybe Michael Turner, who had 23 points and 18 rebounds in that game against Sotus. And he probably would have got it if he played against Red Creek, but he was sick. So,
yep.
I'm sure Mike might get a T-shirt coming up here. So... I got for my player of the week, Connor Crago of Marion. He's led them in scoring every single game. 16 points against North Rose Wolcott, a loss. 19 points against Gananda, a loss. And 15 points against Red Creek, a loss. But, you know, he's doing everything he can. Consistent score. I figured it would be a good time to recognize Crago. So two Wayne County players this week. So Ronderick and Connor. Not Ron, Derek, Connor. Ron yeah. Derrick's one. We didn't give away three T-shirts. Ronderick Morris, you got a T-shirt. Connor Crago, you got a T-shirt. Email upstatehoops@fingerlakes1.com with your T-shirt size and mailing address, and you get a late Christmas present. So, Virk, our power rankings. This has become my favorite part of the show. We used to do five. We've upgraded it now to 10. You know, there's 24 teams in the Wayne Finger Lakes, right?
Yeah.
Is it 24, 25, 25?
Yeah, something like that.
And so we're giving you the top 10, and I think it's good because, you know, these teams that are in the second five are in a way more interesting than the ones that are in the top five because the top five hasn't changed too much. So this week's power rankings, we had Clyde Savannah drop out. They were ranked 10th last week, 3-2 on the season after the loss to Red Creek, even though they were down Turner. HAC dropped out. They were 9 last week after they lost this week. I should probably tell you who they lost to. Dundee, I think.
Yeah, HAC lost to Dundee.
Yeah, 56-37. So this week's top 10 features 4 Finger Lakes East teams, 3 Wayne County teams, and 3 Finger Lakes West teams. I'm also receiving votes but not making the top 10. Clyde Savannah, HAC, and Gananda. But 10th this week, Dundee, Les Miller's Scots moving back into the top 10. They were unranked this week. They were previously ranked as high as 6th. 3-1 with that win over HAC and South Seneca. And it makes me wonder, Virk, if maybe that loss to Naples wasn't just a weird anomaly.
Yeah, I don't know. Naples has been playing well, obviously, this year. And
they've been bad.
Yeah, he seems to always, you know, who knows if – I think they had their whole team for that game as well, which over
they
the
did.
Last couple of years has been a problem for them. But, you know, just one loss, and, you know, they get to play Naples again. So, we'll, you know, that – could be another big game for the standings.
Marcus Whitman coming in at number 9. They were 6 last week. Also, they lost to Naples, so Naples is just killing teams in our top 10. Whitman beat Red Jacket and Romulus this week. They stand at 5-1. Then Minders drops from 5 this week to 8. They beat Honeoy this week, which isn't going to get you much cred, but then they lost to Penyan at home. And so they're 4-1 right now. And drop them to 8.
They lost their first big test of the year. You know, yep. Home game versus Penyan. If they're going to make a move in the league, that was the game they had to have. And you know, played pretty well for, you know, 2.5 quarters, and then just kind of fell apart.
And I think they've earned their spot in the top 10
sure,
with those
no doubt,
win on
no
the
doubt.
Road at Geneva
yep.
and defeating Waterloo. So Naples 7 making their debut at 7, unranked last week, 4-0. Wins over Honeyway and Whitman, and obviously the Dundee and Whitman wins were undeniable. We might even have them ranked too low, so we'll have to stay tuned on the Big Green Machine. North Rose Wilkett, we jumped up to 6, although this is one team we really haven't gotten a good look at yet. They beat Williamson and Marion this week. We had them at 8 last week. I guess they kind of bumped up because other teams lost, but I'm going to be excited to see Tyler Norris and North Rose on the 29th and also see them match up against some better teams in Wayne County.
Yeah, it's kind of weird so far. Like, it seems like the top teams in most of the leagues haven't really squared off yet. But, you know, we got some big games coming up here.
And then number 5, Red Creek. They were 7 last week. They're up to 5, wins over Marion and on the road at Clyde Savannah. And it's not just based on those wins. It's just an eye test thing. I was just really impressed with that team. Maybe they played really well that night. Maybe young Nick Klein, you know, will have some struggles as a sophomore, but geez, they looked really, really good. So I got them 5. I can't look at any of these other teams below them and think that they'd beat them.
Right.
Moving up to number 4, we got the Lions. Lions, Zach Young's Lions lost to SOTUS without Damon Hunter. Then defeated ER, team that beat Clyde. I don't necessarily think Lions any worse than I thought they were. They didn't have Hunter, but, you know, you lose, you got to fall.
Yeah, I think considering, you know, they played without Hunter, one of their other players was sick in that game as well. And like we said, SOTUS has some talented kids. So, you know, you go into a game without your number one player, you know, you lose Hunter, obviously you lose the scoring, but, you know, he's their main ball handler. He does so much for that team. So, you know, that was a big adjustment for Lions, and they gave it a good game. And a game that, you know, they could have pulled that out and suffered a one-point loss. But I'm sure they'll get Hunter back here, which they did, and, you know, handed ER a defeat, which was a big win for them.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about that Lions loss is I was almost impressed
yeah.
with the loss because it was a very close game down to the end. And, you know, it was a 45-44 final. SOTUS wins by 1. Ron Derek Morris had 23. Adam Van Buskirk had 21. And, you know, without your best player and some other complimentary players, you still only lose by one. So moving up from 4-3 this week, we've got Palmac Red Raiders. 4-0, they won at Geneva by 26. And, you know, just rolling right along. And this was where we had a little bit of disagreement here on the FL1 sports team is with Penn Yan at 2, moving up from 3. So those two teams staying right next to each other at 3-2. Penn Yan, of course, beat Minders and Seneca Falls. And we're going to see those two teams play, and that's going to be a great game that maybe we didn't anticipate. We're looking at the preseason schedule. Palmac, Penn Yan.
Yeah, you know, and handicapping both those, you know, Penn Yan coming to Miners, good win. You know, and Palmac's got some, you know, they beat Victor in the tournament that you guys covered.
Yeah.
And handled Victor easily. And what's been surprising to me is who's their big 3-point shooter there?
Holden Knorr.
Knorr. He hasn't had the big games they had early on lately, and they're still just dominating people. So that just tells me they got a pretty well-rounded team. You know, headed into the meat of league play here.
They got a couple sophomore quick ball handlers in us and really good athletes. And they got some size inside, too. Man, I like everything about Palmac. I'm looking forward to seeing Penn Yan. I was a little jealous, Burke, that I couldn't join you Friday night. I asked my daughter if she wanted to go. She said no.
Yeah, mine didn't either. I just shot over by myself.
So number one for the fourth consecutive week now, got the Newark Reds. They beat Waterloo this week on Friday night, 65-49. Nice 16-point win. Tyler Collins had 20 points. Taylor Clements had 11. Nate Beard had 9. Lost that game to Fayetteville Manlius. Now, that's a game that we can't penalize him for. As a matter of fact, I kind of applaud him for it. I think it's a smart thing to do. Go play the toughest team you can play out of the league. And it'll help you not only in league but in sectional. So
sure.
Newark remains at number one, Burke, and that's our top ten. To recap it, it's Dundee, Marcus Whitman, Minders, Naples, North Rose, Wolcott, Red Creek, Lions, Palmac, Penn Yan, and Newark. And that's what it's going to be for the next 7 days. And taking a look at the next 7 days, the week ahead. On Monday night, we have early college taking on Naples in Prattsburg, part of the Prattsburg tournament. Geneva's at School of the Arts. Not going to be easy for Geneva to pick up their first win there on the road.
I'm interested in that early college versus Naples because early college is actually a Class C1 school, and with Minders, Bloomfield, Gananda, ER. So it'll be interesting to get a feel of. They're off to a pretty good start. They play a tough schedule in the City League, so I'm interested to see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about trying to evaluate Naples here. If they win, I'd be really impressed with that with a win there. It's early college.
Yeah.
East Rochester's at Marion. Gananda's at Sodus in a big game in Wayne County. And then that Lions and Red Creek game that you'll see on your schedules everywhere was postponed due to shot clocks not working at Red Creek. Rescheduled to Monday, January 12th. Tuesday night, Naples will be playing in either the championship or consolation in Prattsburg. That Waterloo and South Seneca game there, Ted Baker will have the call from the Guinan. And to me, that's the game of the week, just of interest. Penn Yan at Beth Haverling, a little out-of-league game there. No games Wednesday and Thursday, obviously, Christmas Eve and Christmas. Friday, they get right back in action, though, on the 26th of December with Geneva and Minders and Red Jacket at the Red Jacket Holiday Tournament. Do you have any idea who Minders is playing that game, Rick? Because I couldn't find it.
I don't know. I don't know if they're playing Honeyway again in that game. Is that when they play Honeyway?
You know, you might be right. I'm not sure. Because
you can only play 18 games. Well, they had the extra game, which they played South Seneca.
That was the 19th game.
Right. So I don't know. This is just one game, right, on Friday? It's not a real tournament, I don't think.
No, I think that they do play on Saturday, too. But, you know, I could be. I'm just going by stuff I'm pulling offline. I guess we should know these things, right?
Yeah, they do come back and play in the tournament, it looks like. But I don't know.
And that's the other interesting thing. Is there any chance they could play Geneva, you know? Or
you would think if it's a true tournament. It looks like it's Red Jacket, Mid Lakes, Geneva, and Minders.
Red Jacket, Mid Lakes, Geneva and Minders. So Midlakes. No, Midlakes is playing at the Gananda tournament.
Oh, that's
tournament.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's
Midlakes and Gananda are playing in a tournament in Gananda on Friday.
So this
Saturday.
Looks like then there's. Yeah, the teams listed are Red Jacket, Geneva, Minders for the Red Jacket tournament.
Can't figure out who that fourth team is. So.
Or if there is one.
Well, you know, it's 2014. It's tough to get information disseminated. So, full week of holiday hoops. A light week, I should say. But a few contests we'll have our eyes on. And then, our next broadcast coming a week from tomorrow. Waterloo hosts North Rose World Cup boys and girls. So, Vert, Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to all our listeners and viewers for joining us, who are joining us tonight. Thanks for joining us on the Upstate Hoops podcast on Finger Lakes One TV. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher.com. Have a great week, and we'll see you back here next Sunday night at 9 for the last show of 2014.